The Donut Bag is brought to you by Penn Highway Marketplace, the marketplace for vintage goods, quality collectibles, and handmade crafts. It's where I get all my sports memorabilia. Go to Facebook.com/PennHighway. That's Facebook.com/PennHWY. And mention I sent you. I just saw something that the Steelers were going to get rid of Mitch Trubisky because he's making like $8 million or something like that. And at one point I thought he would, I thought they would, because, you know, obviously it didn't work out with him and he wants to go be a starter or be something somewhere else where he has a better opportunity. But first of all, because it's like, well, $8 million is a lot of money. It's like, actually it's not. And considering what happened to the 49ers,
right,
you need all the quarterbacks you can get. So they're probably keeping Mitch Trubisky, right?
I think if Mitch doesn't have somewhere else to go, they'll keep him. And I think Rooney made it clear in his press conference that he wants him to stay. I think it's best case scenario for the Steelers to keep him as a backup. I don't know that I think it's best case for Mitch Trubisky. I think if he's getting older, if he really wants to play somewhere, he needs to find somewhere to play sooner rather than later. But I don't know that he did anything that earns him that offer from another team. So I think he's kind of stuck.
I feel like we need depth at so many other positions than quarterback.
Yeah.
Not that quarterback isn't important. I just feel like we can get a guy. We can get some Case Keenum guy. We can get some Teddy Bridgewater guy. We can get some kind of guy who's cheaper than Mitch.
I mean, we did it with Mason forever.
The $8 million save, well, we would save, I think it's like $10 million against the cap, and we would save $8 million. So right. If we kept him or whatever, it's like 10 million. Anyway, either way, we can get a bunch of guys for 8 million. You know what I mean? Not like a whole bunch, but you know what I'm saying? Like serviceable depth pieces,
right?
That we desperately need if we would just go with a different guy than Mitch, who's more affordable.
Here's what they need. They need Kenny, Mitch, or some equivalent veteran backup, and they need a rookie third string. Because at this point, as we saw with the 49ers, you need three or four or five or six or seven guys the way things go.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
A flash in the pan. You know what I mean? Besides it happening to Pittsburgh in whatever 2019.
Right.
Right.
It's a rare occurrence, right?
I don't know. I mean, more quarterbacks were used this year than I think ever before or something like that. Andrew, do you think Mitch Trubisky would have a better shot anywhere else?
No.
Like who would really want him?
No. I can't think of a team that looks at Mitch Trubisky's performance this year and says, that's my guy. And is willing to pay him the money. So no, I think Mitch Trubisky's best bet is being a backup.
Maybe
settling in Pittsburgh is his best option. I don't know.
Yeah. Leanne and I think talked about it on House of Yinzer recently that given Kenny's, I mean, he's a rookie and he's missed two games and parts of others. If he's going to start somewhere, I feel like his best possibility is in Pittsburgh, unfortunately, just given the concussion history. You know what I mean?
No, they know him.
Sense.
Yeah. Go ahead, Leanne.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I agree with Allison. I think it makes sense. You know what I mean? If you can keep him to keep him, I just think it's a lot of money. So I feel like if he gets an offer somewhere, the Steelers will boot him out the door as fast as they can.
Yeah. If he gets an offer for any money, the Steelers are going to be like, hi, there's the door.
See ya. Yeah. He should want to stay in Pittsburgh. I know he was a little salty in that interview he did where he's like, I wished I'd looked around more, like anybody else was offering him anything. But the reality is his best chance is what Allison said, which is to hope that he gets an opportunity to play and then be able to show that he's evolved over this offseason into something better than what we saw last year.
Who's going to sign him, though? Pressure. Maybe the Panthers? Maybe the Colts? I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean,
team without a quarterback.
It's better to go with the devil you know than the devil you don't know.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, you know, Mitch knows a team, the team knows Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
They work relatively well together. It's just whether he's going to think that he's better than he is.
You would have to think when they signed him to this contract, they probably didn't think that he was, whether, you know what I mean, taking Kenny out of the equation, they probably didn't think he was going to be starting in 2023, right? They probably figured Kenny was going to be starting. So, and you would think that they maybe figured into that what they still wanted to, what they wanted to pay him, given that he was going to be, that they were, you know, projecting him to be a backup in 2023. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe however they structured it was how they wanted it to be, even if he was a backup. You know?
Maybe.
Because I don't think that they, that, I don't think they expected Mitch to start in 2023. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they expected him to start both years, you know?
Right.
That's my opinion.
Unless he excelled, I mean.
Yeah, right. Unless he was some superstar or something like that. Right. And then
I mean, he was a former first round pick. So
yeah.
Let me put it this way. He is trending right now. And the reason he's trending is because the same reason he's always been trending, the Bears picked him over Pat Mahomes,
right,
who is basically kind of regarded not only the greatest quarterback of now, but possibly the greatest quarterback ever. But then again,
can we not anoint Patrick Mahomes? Can we not anoint Patrick Mahomes on this podcast, please?
Right. Maybe we will. Maybe
no.
We will. Maybe
no. He's that good. Not anoint anybody on this Joe podcast. Romo.
Yeah, no. But I mean, no. Okay, Andrew, you're in Philadelphia. How crazy is the town going that they're going to the Super Bowl?
It's going like moderate levels of crazy because they've only just won the NFC Championship game. So they're only climbing like 50% of the light poles. They're not like knocking them down yet.
They're crashing through bus stops.
Yes.
No, dude, that's only like 50%. Trust me, there will be cars on fire. There will be things overturned.
They'll light couches on fire, and it's much Detroit.
No couches on fire. That's West Virginia.
And Detroit. They do that in Detroit.
Oh, they do that in Detroit too.
No, in Philadelphia, they will climb everything. They will flip everything that they can, and they will light certain things on fire. But the fire thing has not happened yet. So trust me, they've only just won the NFC Championship.
Yeah, I was there for the last Super Bowl. That was chaos. Chaos. Oh, yes.
That's the purge. That's like every man for himself.
That's a good analogy.
Go.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. That's very much what it was like. Somebody was like, I have a bunch of friends who are Commanders fans because I lived in Washington for a long time. And, you know, so they're rivals with the Eagles. And they're like, everybody here should be hoping for the Eagles to win because Philadelphia is going to burn their whole city to the ground with two Super Bowls and wipe themselves off the map. And we won't have to worry about them anymore.
I put a post on social media before that NFC Championship game. And I was like, I pray for the city or I pray for Philadelphia, not any of the teams, but for the city itself, because win, lose, that city is going to destroy itself.
Doesn't matter.
Listen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Couches are heavy. If you decide my sports team won, I'm going to burn this couch. You need help. You need to gather family members. You know.
Oh, it's planned.
It's hard enough to get people to help you move. When you say, hey, can you come over my house so I could burn this couch? That's a commitment right there.
It is. Those are real friends.
Those are real friends, right?
They come over and help you burn your couch.
They help you dump the lighter fluid.
It's like, buddy, there better be more than a pizza involved in this. I might be going to jail.
There's breadsticks.
Yeah, but you better throw in the breadsticks. You better throw in a 2-liter pop, too.
Right.
I don't want to say I feel bad for the 49ers, but what a situation to be in. They're down to their third string rookie seventh round pick, and he who is actually playing well, and he gets
my
hurt
heart
early.
Did break for them.
Totally.
Yeah, my heart broke.
I didn't want
for
him
them,
to win.
Like,
can't tie us in Super Bowl rings, but I felt bad for him.
So that's a thing. It's like when you have two teams that you're not really invested in, it's like, who do you root for? And I was rooting for, it's like, well, I hate Philadelphia, but I don't want the 49ers to win another ring.
Yeah.
So, but I hate Philadelphia. But
See, I was rooting for Philadelphia. Yeah, I would
root for 49ers if it weren't for that.
See, I was rooting for Philadelphia because they are my second team. They're my hometown team. I do root for Philly as long as they're not playing the Steelers. And but my heart broke for Brock Purdy because that's a really cruddy way for his season to end. Like, if his season ended, like, they outplayed him, like, Philly outplayed him, and, like, he just got beat, I could be down with that. But for him to just go out with, like, that kind of injury, like, that broke my heart
a little bit. So he had a torn
UCL.
Yeah. So he could be out almost all of next season.
Nah, 6 months.
6 months.
That's it? Okay.
That's what I've heard.
So he'll be back.
He's an athlete. If it was you or me, we'd be out for like 2 years.
Right. Right. Never recover. Never be the same.
He's still relevant or not. You know what I mean? He's still an athlete.
Me looking at it, I started limping. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was bad.
I am of the belief that he is a flash in the pan. He's a Cinderella. He's not that good. That's just my opinion.
If he would go basically anywhere else, I don't think he would.
He's
be.
Basically a slight level above Duck Hodges. That's what we're talking about here.
I disagree strongly. I think he's a Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay. Okay. Maybe he is. You know, but the 49ers, what did they trade to get Trey Lance? They traded a boatload of stuff to get Trey Lance.
Trey Lance was a number two pick or was second overall.
The second overall pick, and the 49ers had to trade up to get him.
Yeah.
They're going to give him the chance. I don't care what, unless Brock Purdy like lights the world on fire, and he better like be absolutely perfect.
He did. He already lit the world on fire.
He really did. Yeah.
But
I think he was extremely underrated coming out of college. I mean, I know that there was a few dings against him, but I thought he was a much better college player than he was given credit for.
And I think we're seeing that now, right? I mean,
yeah.
Agreed.
You look at it, it's a really good question of how you evaluate quarterbacks, because obviously he was the last player drafted, and we just talked about it. Every team is desperate for quarterbacks,
right?
And you know, it's like why did this guy last till the seventh round? And the reason is because he doesn't have the strongest arm, or maybe he's not the fastest, or whatever his measurables are. But I believe he was he had a lot of experience in college, and that experience translated to the NFL. Look at Malik Willis in Tennessee. He was first of all, they thought he was going to be a first round pick.
I'll be right back.
They thought he was going to be a first round draft pick, and then he fell to, I think, the third round or something like that. People said, "Oh, what a steal!" Well, look at him when they threw him in there. He was a total deer in headlights because he had no experience. He just had amazing raw physical tools. So that's a good.
But he had no idea what he was actually looking at.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, well, we'll teach you. It's like, okay, cool, but you know, look at somebody who didn't have all the tools but had the experience and came in. Look at Kenny Pickett. Kenny, you know, people trashed him. It's like, oh, Kenny Pickett. Oh, why'd you even draft him? It's like, well, look what happened when he came in, because he had all that
Kenny
experience.
Kenny can actually read defenses,
right?
Let's talk about Kenny Pickett. I don't know if you saw the Pat Freiermuth on the Ben Roethlisberger podcast.
Nope.
I gotta tell you, I am absolutely shocked that Ben is actually a good podcaster.
He is, yeah, and he's getting better too.
He's getting better.
I'll have to give it a listen, but I can't imagine Ben as like a good podcaster.
I'm telling you, it's good stuff. He is. He is I'm shocked that he is taking the high road in everything.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to.
He has
not that he would be. I never pictured him as like somebody to badmouth after he left, but because he's mature, you know what I mean? Like if we were talking like early on in his career or something different, you know, if we were talking motorcycle riding Ben Roethlisberger versus like, you know, sign of the cross, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, two different guys, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like he could be like, you know what? Matt Canada's, he's not great. You know what I'm right. saying?
He easily, he's not saying and that. He's been asked many times, and, right. and he just said, listen, the reason why they kept him is because they went 7-2 and there was mm-hmm. progress.
Yeah, everybody's saying that. Why else would you keep him?
Today's episode is brought to you by Penn Highway Marketplace, located in Export, PA. It's a little bit outside Murraysville if you're in the Pittsburgh area, but you don't have to be in the Pittsburgh area. You could reach them at facebook.com/PennHighway. That's /PennHwy. This is where I get all of my things in my man cave. And here's a little secret. It's not expensive. Take a look at some of the things I just got. Dave Parker bobblehead. This was $10. A mug that's like a Steeler helmet. This was $4. Remember Ollie Matta bobblehead of his? $8. That's it. It is priced to sell. They have all kinds of sports memorabilia. But that's not all. They also have Funko Pops, Star Wars stuff, things for your bar, all kinds of stuff. So check them out. If there's anything you need for your man cave, they're at facebook.com/PennHighway. Yeah, they have Funko Pops, Star Wars, things for your bar, trading cards also, all kinds of stuff. Give them a shot. Tell them I sent you. That's the important thing. Tell them I sent you so they know it came from me. So check it out. Penn Highway Marketplace, facebook.com/PennHighway. And we thank them for sponsoring this episode. Yeah. Yeah. People are still people are still mad about that. The Cowboys got rid of their offensive coordinator. The Cowboys had the fourth ranked offense in the league and they got rid of their guy. And here we are stuck with Matt friggin' Canada.
That's why I feel like, I feel like the tempers were starting to cool, you know, like 10 days after the Canada thing. And then Art Rooney came out and did his State of the Steelers address. Open up new wound, you know, reopen the wounds. And then this whole Kellen Moore thing, it's like, we can't Steelers Nation can't get over this whole Matt Canada thing because things just keep coming back to remind us how crappy the Steelers offense is going to be next year.
Folks, he ain't going anywhere. Sorry.
Not next year. No,
or this year. Not next year.
So on Ben's podcast, and you know what? Ben's looking good too. Not that
he does look good.
You know, like, good for him. Like, he's, like, I'm just, I don't know.
And I love this podcast. I really.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was just saying podcast. That. It's like, it's not bad. Like, you son of a gun. You got $250 million and now you have a good podcast. I'm extremely jealous.
Do podcasts. Yeah.
He records his podcast in his basement and I record mine in mine and his looks a lot better than mine.
Yeah, it's a just different saying. Vibe.
It doesn't have as much memorabilia, though.
No.
Well, no. I got quantity. He has quality. yes. Anyway, on the podcast, he had Pat Freiermuth on, and Pat Freiermuth said that the offense last year did not have hot routes. He said, quote, it's different because we didn't have hots. With you, Ben, how many times did we have a concept that you looked at Deontay and gave a signal and it'd be a 12-yard completion? We didn't have that this year. So, and he said that the adjustment for pass catchers came at the line of scrimmage. So it was on when Ben was the quarterback, basically everything ran through him. He read the defense. Yeah. He would make adjustments. He would, you know, I remember he would do that with Antonio Brown. He would just give a wink to Antonio Brown. And it would, you know, they see something, it would be a touchdown or something like that. And, but with Kenny, there was no, it was like as vanilla as can be. So either Matt Canada is an idiot or they simplified it greatly for Kenny.
They made it sound like they simplified it. At least that was my take on it. Do you know what I mean? Was the way it sounded. I watched the podcast last night and that was the way it sounded to me. It wasn't like they thought Kenny wasn't smart enough. Do you know what I mean? But it was just this like dipping your toe into the NFL pool, you know, and taking time. There's so much more to learn. And I know Kenny's talked about that a bunch on things he's appeared on, just how different it is with the defense having so many different plays that they run. Do you know what I mean? Like just that part of being an NFL quarterback is overwhelming. Like, forget about all the offensive stuff you have to learn, like all the defensive stuff too.
Was it just Kenny though? Like, wasn't the offense pretty much the same when Mitch was in there?
Thank you.
I know it was only a few games, but was it okay. that much different?
The excuses, okay, it's a rookie quarterback. We got to put him on training wheels. What about your veteran?
Yeah.
What happened then?
Right. Where's the excuse then? Taking risks. He wasn't calling plays at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
He's
got the skills to do that. I mean, Ben spent years proving that he's got the skills to do that. I don't know that anybody saw that from Mitch at any time he ever stepped on the field during his career.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, I just think Kenny wasn't there yet, but I still think that Matt Canada's offense was subpar compared to where we needed to be.
It was
the outward appearance. Yeah.
I will say they made a switch to, or at least it looked like they made a switch to the zone blocking scheme. And it looked like it made like Najee ran way better in the second half of the year. So yeah. I will, whatever offensive schemes were talked about in the back room, like, I don't know, but Najee ran way better in the second half of the year in those like zone kind of schemes. And that's all I'll say.
I know I owe the offensive line coach an apology. Was his name Pat Meyer? And I think a lot of people do, because a lot of people trash that guy. A lot of people trash that coach and said, oh, what's going on with this offensive line? It's not getting any better, blah, blah, blah. Well, it improved greatly from week one to week 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's like everything changed after the bye. What was it? The last game before the bye was the Eagles game where they got blown out, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Everything changed after the bye. I think either Najee got healthier, or Najee's ankle
got healthier. Yes.
I think he got healthier, but I also think he had a change in approach, because he was still dancing too much because he didn't trust the line. Mm-hmm. And he ran a lot more straightforward. The line got better. Everything got better. And actually Pat Freiermuth mentioned that in the podcast. He said, you know, when it was Ben, you had that veteran presence. There was no veteran on the Steelers offense last year. TJ Watt.
Wasn't Johnson the oldest player? Like,
right. Yeah, player 30 year guy.
24 or something.
Yeah. So at the bye, they kind of had, I don't know if it was a players only meeting or a team meeting or whatever, but they all got together. He said they aired out their grievances. They talked it all out. And after that, things got a lot better. So
some kind of come to Jesus meeting happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny because they talked about right after the bye week. And I think a lot of us were like, okay, yeah, they had a meeting.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. We're going to see how this goes. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was a myriad of different things, you know what I mean? But that probably, you know, helped more than we thought it ever would.
The offensive line probably had this, like, you got it. Like, it's the guy next to you kind of talk.
Mm-hmm.
And every guy next to them had it. And they were willing to improve and learn and do the thing that needed to be done. And that's why they got better. So.
Yeah.
I was watching a podcast earlier today with that Taylor Lewan that they keep talking about, you know, the Steelers are going to try to take him for a year. So he was talking about how much difference it makes. And I thought this was huge, how much difference it makes to have that like veteran presence on the offensive line, just that's so impactful. And he said, you know, he's like, I don't watch a lot of other teams' football. And he's like, but that to me is the thing that like from the Steelers I've interacted with, like that's the thing that's really missing for you guys. You don't have that pouncy, you don't have a Casey Hampton. You don't have some guy that's there like anchoring your team, like pulling everybody together. It doesn't exist. I mean,
yeah. You're right. You don't have a Dramati Dawson. You don't have an Alan Panica. You don't have
just really missing Marquise
Pouncey. You don't. Yep. Like, you don't have
even that. A Ben Roethlisberger having that veteran quarterback. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm just talking about the offensive line.
Well,
right.
I mean, absolutely. Chooks was the most senior member of that group.
Exactly, and Chooks is, no offense, Chooks is suspect, but
yeah. Well,
poor Chooks.
Poor Chooks. Yeah, yeah.
He improved too, though. Do you know what I mean? He surprised me at how much he improved. He was not my most hated player last year, which was an improvement over the year before.
Right, yeah, he was my most hated player.
Yeah. The F word came before Chooks in almost every sentence he was used in.
I hated you less last year. It was a very, that's a very nice way of putting something.
True love, yeah.
Which makes you wonder what they're going to do in the draft. You know, there's there right now, things are going to change so much, but there's a tackle, you know, available around that time, this Peter Skoronski from Northwestern. Are they going to go tackle? Are they going to go linebacker? Awesome. Are they going to go cornerback? Are they going to go defensive line?
I would go defense, honestly.
What, line or cornerback?
Line just or defense cornerback. In general. Like, defensive line, defensive back. Like, I would go defense more than I would go offense right now.
I would be okay with that. I would be okay with that. I would be okay.
I think it depends on who's there.
Right.
I mean, two couple of areas of need. So who's the best player available at that area when you go to pick?
Exactly. But if it's between offense and defense, I would go defense personally.
I think if Broderick Jones is there, I mean, I just keep hearing so many good things about him. I feel like if he's there at number 20 or number 7,
and I watch no college football, so I have no idea who any.
He just
are.
Now this is just a mock draft that I've just did. He was taken by the Packers at 15, so they took him right before.
Yeah, right before us.
But this means nothing. Like I said, I put out a mock draft earlier, and my each pick
Stop
was just
mock drafting before the season is over.
Let me explain what my pick was: best player available, best player available, best player available, and then the seventh round pick was somebody's brother.
I hate mock drafts this early so much.
None of them mean anything.
And it hurts my brain.
People do take them seriously. It's like it's like they think whatever they pick is actually going to happen, and it won't. But anyway, about the AFC Championship, man, that was a really good game. Holy cow! I am just. I guess the question is: are the Steelers anywhere close to the Bengals or Chiefs, or are we doomed?
I think we have the ability to get there. I mean, don't think we're there yet. But I think we've got a lot of the components we need to be able to get there.
I feel like we're closer than maybe the majority of Steeler Nation thinks.
Yeah. I do too.
Are they one good off season away from being that much better?
Yeah.
I think they have the potential. I really do. I think that depending on what happens with free agency and the draft, we've got to decent amount of cap money. I mean, I think we have the opportunity, you know, if the stars align and the choices are turn out to pan out, you know, I don't always think it's a bad choice. I think sometimes the choices don't pan out the way you want them to. I think if they do, then I think we have a serious shot at it.
Yeah. I mean, my concern, you know, again, just kind of goes back to the offense. If you don't score points, you can't win games. Obviously the defense can step up, that, you know what I mean? And Minka can get a pick six here and there, but it really all just goes back to, like, you know, what we think that Matt Canada is going to do next year or, you know, even in 2024, you know, if we're talking that, you know, a year away, who's going to be our OC, you know what I mean? Like,
well, and then are you starting all over again? Like, is that another year of, like, having to figure things out because it's a new offense?
And what if the new OC is a disaster? What if he's terrible?
That could happen too. Yeah. I mean, that there's no guarantee.
Yeah, but player personnel wise, I definitely feel like, cornerback. You know what I mean? Maybe a shutdown corner.
Would be really
fantastic. Because I feel like that's where our defense, if our defense struggled at all last year, which, you know, they did, they weren't, you know, it was that cornerback
in that secondary. Yeah,
defensive lineman is also a place we need to address.
Mm-hmm. Cornerbacks age so rapidly in the NFL, though. I feel like your best bet is, you know, somebody was arguing with me on Twitter about taking somebody out of free agency. And the thing about them is that they they age rapidly. Do you know what I mean? If you can find that number one corner with that first or first, second round pick, I mean, I think you've got a real shot.
But then you have the chance of them being a bust. That's the scary thing.
Yeah, the Steelers don't have very good luck with
no, but you got to keep trying.
Yeah. You know, what are you doing, Andrew? What was that? What was that mask for?
Oh, it's a Guy Fawkes mask.
I know, but I
was just messing around.
Okay. Rooney had his press conference, and every time he has his press conference, it's like what do they say, from your mouth to God's ears or something? Yeah,
lips to God's ears.
Yeah, whatever he says, like you know, like a few years ago, it's like, we need to improve the run game. It's like, well, then they did everything they could to improve the run game. This year he said we need to score more. Canada.
That's going to happen automatically, right?
Yeah.
Because he said it.
Yeah.
Well, nice? I mean, hey, does that mean they're going to get more offense?
But how do you not like snort laugh when he says it? Like, but really? But you kept that Canada. How do those two things happen at the same time?
What he should have said is, listen, I'm going to make this as challenging as possible. I'm going to tell them to increase the offense, but I'm going to keep Matt Canada. It's like, maybe it was like a TikTok challenge, like the Matt Canada challenge. It's like, I dare you to have a good football team with that guy as your offensive coordinator.
Right.
Go. That's your challenge. I don't know. Here's what would be nice. Kind of like how they got Flores last year and just made a position for him. Maybe get one of these offensive coordinators that just, you know, happen to be on the scrap heap or something like that. Bring him in just as a consultant or a pass game coordinator or whatever, you know, whatever cute name you want to call it or something. Just somebody to help. Somebody with you know, ideas other than, you know, throw short of the sticks on 3rd and 8 or something like that.
If Flores gets picked up, I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility. Do you know what I mean? Because they've got that money and that position, just shift it over to an offensive thing and use that for somebody to help out.
Yeah, that's what Joe Rutter said, and I hadn't even thought about that. Well, you know, if Flores goes, well, you know, the Steelers will have this money. You know what I mean?
You know, come on, I can't believe that. I can't believe that the Steelers are strapped for money and say, oh, we need to save some money somewhere for our coaching staff. I mean,
Rooney's a really cheap. Sakes. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I guarantee they have a money full of just cash that he just swims in like Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Tails or something like that.
I'm sure.
Have you ever tried that doesn't to mean dive you're spending into it. Those gold coins?
It hurts. Do not do that. Kids, don't do this at home. Don't get a pile of coins and swim in it. First of all, it's unsanitary is all.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
They hurt.
It's like the ball pits.
You're swimming in metal. Don't listen to the cartoons.
It's no fun for anyone.
You stay in school, kids. I have a shocking admission. There was a brief time where I was actually rooting for the Bengals to beat the Chiefs.
What? Why?
I'm sorry.
Kidnapped? Boo. Boo. Brain injury?
Boo.
I don't know. I was just, I kind of rooted for the Bengals.
I picked them to beat the Chiefs, but
me too. They kind of got screwed in that whole thing with the DeMar Hamlin thing. They were told, well, maybe you might have to have a coin flip to see if you win the division. And then we're really hoping that it's Bills and Chiefs so that we can have our little game in Atlanta.
I still love Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was first asked, like, Joe Burrow, how do you feel about the win? It's like, oh, they better refund them tickets to Atlanta.
See, that's the thing. They were thinking about that. They used that as motivation. They had that chip on their shoulder. They were using it as motivation. Then they turn around and become the biggest jerks possible. Basically, they were just...
I don't know why anybody expected anything less from the Bengals than the biggest jerks possible.
Yeah. I mean, the mayor of Cincinnati saying, hey, you maybe Joe Burrow's your daddy.
What did the mayor of Cincinnati test?
He came out and said, you know, we're going to test and see if if Joe Burrow is indeed the father of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like yeah. on the radio or something. And, you know what I mean? And, like it was public.
And Mike Hilton said that
Mike Hilton talking trash.
Yeah, Mike Hilton said they should rename
Eli Apple. Like, who are you running your mouth?
Eli Apple trash.
Eli Apple and Burt Toast are the same thing. My goodness. Yeah.
But, I mean, you got to be at somebody's level before you start running running your mouth. Do you know what I mean? Like, you aren't at the level to be running your mouth when you're Eli Apple.
Right. No.
Or Mike Hilton, frankly.
You're the weakest cornerback maybe in the league. Shut up, dude.
Getting dragged along on somebody's coattails talking trash.
Mm-hmm. I love when they say to athletes, hey, so-and-so just trash talked you. How do you respond to that? It's like, oh, we don't pay attention to that stuff. We're just playing one game at a time. Blah, blah, cliche. Meanwhile, after the game, Travis Kelce's like, jabroni.
He called that guy a jabroni. That gave me like a whole new level of respect for Travis Kelce. I've never been a fan of like, that's my guy. Mm-hmm. He called somebody a jabroni.
Thank you. Thank you, Rock. High five.
I cannot wait for the brother cast this week.
Oh, wait. Travis Kelce and his brother have their own podcast?
They have their own podcast.
It's called like the New Heights podcast or something like that, right?
I've never watched it. I did like that the Kelce that's on the Eagles, he tweeted after the AFC game, he tweeted like, I am no longer a fan of the Chiefs or something like that.
My last time being a fan of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like their parents? How cool is that?
Oh no. They're like, shut up.
Yeah, I wish I had both my sons playing in the NFL. Like, that's tough.
Boy, how do you know what? She can afford a custom jersey with the much money they're making.
Yeah.
I am already sick of Mama Kelce. Show her 47,000 times. They might show her the entire game. And it's like, oh, by the way, there was a touchdown. But you don't see it. But anyway, we're focusing on the Kelce mom. Right.
Here's
mom. Let's go.
I love the prop bets. I guarantee there will be a prop bet. How many times they cut to Mama Kelce in the stands or something like that? You could bet the over and under.
I bet the over. Whatever it is,
whatever it is the over.
That and how many times Romo says something about Patrick Mahomes being the greatest quarterback ever?
How many times he says Patrick Mahomes does this and does this and does this better than anybody in the game?
Yes. Well, what game was it like two or three weeks ago when Mahomes like almost fumbled the ball and fell out of his hands and Chris Collinsworth like that was an amazing play.
Somebody, I don't know who did it, but somebody said if Mahomes just pulled down his pants and just pooped right in the middle of the field, Tony Romo would be like, look at nobody poops like Tony Romo. Nobody poops like Pat Mahomes. Look at the way he's spreading his cheeks. Oh my goodness.
Like an NFL like MVP.
He wipes like a champion. Yeah. imagine Tony Romo and Chris Collinsworth on the same broadcast. Ooh. Oh my goodness.
Do you know who I do actually like on the broadcast? Greg Olson.
I was just going to say Olson that.
Is yeah. actually like
I do too.
Thank you.
I have terrible.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's actually very eloquent, and he actually has things to contribute to the play. And
here's the thing:
he's much more moderate to me. Like I prefer my commentators to be more like moderate, not like fanboys. And I like that about Olson.
He's very intelligent, and. But the thing is, the cool thing is, like, I think it's because he's only out of the league for like 2 years or something like that. You know, he's pretty fresh. Romo, I think the game has already passed him by. He's already like, I don't know. I kind of liked him at first, but now it's like, oh, dude, what are you doing?
He's become intolerable. Yeah, he's intolerable. And that's amazing. That's how fast the game moves. Because I was just doing an article on Jerome Bettis's son yesterday and how Jerome Bettis is trying to help his son navigate this process. He went to Alabama's junior day. He's in high school. So he's a wide receiver, went to Alabama's junior day to meet Nick Saban and spend time with the team. And I did a piece on it. And Jerome Bettis is like, well, I'll help you. But this process is way different than what I went through. Like, they didn't have any of this stuff. When, I mean, you know, you would think he would have played in like the 50s or something. But basically, he said, you know, all of these things that they do, they didn't have when he went through the college recruiting process. It's all changed.
It was 30 years ago. The money wow.
thing. But yeah, 30 years ago. It's a long, I mean, and football life, that's a long time. I didn't really think of it in those terms until
real life, like, it's a long time, but yeah, I mean,
so Jerome Bettis's kid is a junior in high school.
He's a wide receiver, tall, lanky.
So the 2027 draft, the Steelers will pick Jerome Bettis's kid in right. the first there you round. Go.
Yep.
It's already, I already got that mock draft out there.
We only pick people that have been on the team before.
Yeah. We like the pedigree.
The other thing they got to work on is the dang referees. Holy crap. I mean,
All right.
It just seems like, I know it's not the case. The NFL is not rigged. There was something just I just saw right before. What was his name? Arian Foster or something like that. He was joking around. I was like, yeah, they give us a script, you know, before the season. And that's what our don't practices even make are. Jokes
like that, man. That's
not I seriously, people that. Will take that seriously.
Which player are you talking about?
This just happened like right before we came on. Yeah. He's just joking around. Hopefully he's joking around. I don't know. Right. He's like, you know, those practices. The practices are we're actually rehearsing the script. That's what the practices are.
Yeah. I think the Bengals got robbed a bit with that push out of bounds play a bit. I mean, I think those things were happening simultaneously. No.
That was really late.
It was a late hit.
Maybe we're not talking about the same play.
I didn't think it was at all.
You're talking about when Mahomes scrambled at the end and the guy pushed him out of bounds?
That was a hit out of bounds.
That was way out of bounds.
I mean, yeah, he was pretty far out of bounds.
When he was reaching for him, he was still in bounds. You know what I mean? So, like, all of those things, like, happened simultaneously.
It doesn't matter.
But, I mean, it's so...
They wouldn't have called it on any other game.
The player was out of bounds.
And then they go back and they show, and they've got the linemen, like, being, like, date raped in the back. Do you know what I mean? Like, their hand was out of bounds. You could have done things.
Oh yeah, there was. I mean, that's you know, it's funny when they call holding. It's like there's sometimes there's blatant holding on every play, but it's just funny.
Offensive holding every play.
I can call like hold on every single play.
Yes,
there is a hold on every single play.
I agree with that.
But it's ridiculous.
But I think that some of them are very blatant. Like if I can pick them out when I'm watching the TV and I'm like, holy crap, like he's hanging on that guy and you're not calling it, but you're ticky-tacking over like a you know, when he was trying to tackle somebody and it became a push out of bounds, I think it's just nitpicky.
It's just so ridiculous.
Push out of bounds was way out of bounds.
It's just ridiculous that you're going full speed and the other person's going full, everybody's going 100 miles an hour, and it's like once you see that little white line, it's like, okay, come to a complete stop,
right,
don't touch
him.
Like,
exactly.
I mean, it was split second thing.
But his feet were clearly out of bounds.
Yeah, I know.
But it definitely happened. It definitely wound up happening out of bounds. But my point was, it wasn't like he was going out of bounds to hit him with a late hit. Do you know what I mean? Like the things happened simultaneously.
I think
it was a bad call. I don't think it would have gotten called almost on any other game. And especially not when you're then handing them the 15 yards that make it an automatic.
That
win.
Basically,
I think it has to be better officiating. On a quarterback?
Okay.
Every other game.
If he does not commit that penalty, that game goes overtime. That dude is overtime, not making that field 100%. Goal.
100%.
You know, that decided the game. I feel horrible for that kid. A whole lot of things happened, and he just made the worst mistake at the worst time, and he was crying. And of course, he blew out his knee.
I know.
He blew out his knee, and the cameraman's like right there, like, dude.
And I guess they were going through the tunnel after the game, and one of the defenders was like, "Why'd you have to go and push him?" You know what I mean? So it's like, good, oh man,
great teammate. You
basically
there,
are blaming that whole loss.
Yeah,
that one play. That guy,
the frustration boiling over, but that's not cool,
right?
I mean, Bengals got a bangle.
Trust me, I've been the
Bengals gonna bangle.
Bangle, yeah. I mean, that, you know,
no, right. Like, trust me, I've had to hide my face like that before.
It sucks. It's, yeah. And he,
it's,
yeah,
the human element nature of the game. I mean, it's what happens. I mean, how many close games have we had where there's been a penalty on Dotson or Moore or somebody else that stops a drive for us?
Right.
And that drive potentially could have been the 3 points or seven points or whatever that we needed to win. I mean, that was our whole season.
Yeah. The one that bugged me was the let's do this over until the Chiefs get it right.
Are you talking about time thing?
Yeah, do it over. Come on, let's go. I mean, it's almost like the refs were saying, let's go Chiefs. Like, I know that's not the case, but I should have seen that way.
People feel it's rigged. You know what I mean? You can always understand it. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
What bugs me is apparently what they do in the playoffs is they don't have, like, every crew is like a team of referees. It's like it's like the same group that goes together for every game, and there's several groups, and they all stay together.
Right.
But then for the playoffs, you have this all-star team thing
it's like Pro Bowl.
You just throw a bunch of people together that are not used to working with each other. You're right. It's like the Pro Bowl, like. What, and then you wonder why there's all kinds of screw ups.
Why don't you just pick the officiating team that makes the fewest mistakes during the regular season to officiate the Super Bowl and the playoff games? I mean,
that's what I mean. We see it every week where some referee makes an egregious error, makes a horrible error. Sometimes it decides a game. Nobody, at no point does the league ever say, you know what, that ref screwed up, he is going to be punished. We never hear that. There's no transparency. There's no accountability. We have no idea what happens. And but they just need to stop with this all-star team thing, because it's not good. Let them. It's like if you had a Pro Bowl that actually meant something. It's like you can't expect those teams to play well together because they're not used to each other.
Right.
Wait, let's make teams.
Actually looking forward to the Pro Bowl this year for once, because it's like,
Tyler Huntley,
just a bunch of games. You know what I mean? Just a bunch of obstacle courses and things. It's like, that's kind of cool. And they used to have both. Yeah. When NFL Network first started, they used to have both, but now it's just going to be the activities or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. I mean,
I hope the activities are like most accurate passer or deepest throw.
Yeah, I think that they are. I mean, they're
dodgeball
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dodgeball.
I just hope it's fun stuff, because it's really not like the Pro Bowl that we all grew up with. Do you know what I mean? It's such a huge departure from what the Pro Bowl's always been. And, you know,
it's because nobody wants to play in it. You know what I mean? Like, if you get injured and you're out for the year, it's like that's, you know what I mean? That's the whole actual regular season that you're not
going to get your team. So get injured playing games too. I mean, who was it that blew out their knee, like playing pickup basketball?
Right.
Or something
this is true. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I just fixed the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
That's all you need to do. The winning team gets $10 million or something like that. The winning team gets like some outrageous amount of money. And I don't care.
Signing bonus?
I don't care if you make $50 million a year. If you get an extra $1 million or something like that, you're going to want to play for that.
Yeah. You could be a player.
Or maybe do something for charity. That might get them motivated. You know what I mean? Something for their charities.
Charity.
Yeah. I think
the players are into that stuff.
Listen,
there you go.
So I think if the money went like towards their charities, I like that.
Rooney can't afford a coaching staff. How do you think he could have money for charity? Come on. This is the NFL.
Well, no. I like
the money
would have
paid the players. Yeah.
You get a good head on her shoulders.
good.
But you think about it, then they do something like that. And then, you know, like, which players are skin flints that don't really care about their charity when they're like, can't chance my knee for Children's Hospital. Sorry.
Sorry, St. Jude's. I got an elbow here, bro.
I got priorities.
Oh man, that's hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, otherwise, don't do a dodgeball game. Okay, like do a skills competition or something like that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Skills competition. Have a thing. Fastest player in the NFL. Would you watch a race with like a 100-meter dash of like 10 of the fastest players in the NFL? Or who's the most accurate quarterback, or who throws it the farthest, or you know, one of those jugs machine, those catching competitions things or something like that. Or a bench press contest. Who's the strongest NFL player?
I like that stuff.
Yeah.
You remember when they had Michael Phelps race a shark? Maybe we could get them like racing cheetahs or something across the field.
Oh no. Bring a bunch of bears into that. The Chicago Bears against a bunch of grizzly bears or something like that. All we're
doing is basically the Gronk commercial.
The Gronk commercial?
With him kicking or whatever.
Yeah, with him kicking, like training to like kick the thing.
Yeah,
you know people are going to bet on that, and it's that's scary. That's scary. I fear for this country, and I fear for Philadelphia.
Why?
You're betting on Gronk kicking a field goal.
If anybody's betting on that, that's weird.
Oh, you know they will. They bet on everything.
I'm going to bet there's a way you could figure out the Gatorade color. I saw this on TikTok. I'm going to figure out the Gatorade color, the color of Gatorade. And then I'm going to try to get the inside track. That's going to be my project for the next couple of weeks.
There you go.
The color of the Gatorade that gets dumped on the coach.
Joe's going to finally have some serious insider knowledge.
Yeah.
I went to school with Brian McManus, and trust me, it's not that hard to kick a field goal.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Ask the Dallas kicker who couldn't kick an extra point.
That guy. Oh,
he
man.
Tried no. too hard.
Yeah, but anytime you see a quote-unquote amateur, like a non-football player try to kick a field goal, it only goes like 2 feet above the ground. Like they cannot get any air on it.
There's a real technique to it. I don't think it's that easy.
I don't know.
Tried. I'm pretty athletic. I tried. I wasn't very good at it.
Yeah.
You got to get air. You got to get that angle.
That's the thing. All right. Well, I'm going to go research Gatorade colors. I got to go.
Guys, hey,
thanks so much. This was so much fun.
He's out.
It was fun. Bye, guys.
See you guys.
See you.